seconds to go. We need a Minneapolis miracle. Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs.
Stay in
the
back. Oh,
oh, my God.
That's the 30.
No. 10. Touchdown. Oh. Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle. Oh, my God. No way. Oh. What a miracle finish.
Hey, what's up?
Beta Purple Podcast, initial reaction edition, following what was a crazy fun game until the final seconds. The Minnesota Vikings fall to 0-2 on the season after dropping a game on the road in Arizona, 33-34. And Jack, it came on the foot of Greg Joseph and a missed what should have been gimme 37-yard field goal. How's it going, man?
Yeah, I think I am ready to just ban any positivity around special teams on the show from any time moving forward here. It was your facial expression at the beginning of the show summed it up perfectly. I mean, that it was just you're sitting there just watching Vikings games over the years and you're sitting there and it's like my heart's racing. My heart shouldn't be racing. It's a 37, 38 yard field goal, whatever it was. That's a kick that most kickers should make in this league. And watching a Vikings game, it feels like a 50-50 shot, and it should not feel like that.
No, he missed an extra point earlier in the game. That was the omen, right? It should have been a tie game at that point. It should have been 34-34 the whole way through. We should have had to play this back-and-forth situation with these field goals going down the way. But it was an omen. It was set, meant to be. We knew that it was too good to be true. Last week we talked, Jackie, we referenced it. We talked about how special teams wasn't a worry for this team anymore. We figured it out. Finally, special teams is fixed. We made jokes about it. We put memes out about it. They still lost the game last week. The special teams looked great. Picture this, okay? The final couple stretches of the game, Barry goes out there and punts a 32-yard punt or something. The defense held, right? But it did flip that field position. Didn't matter because Kirk, for the second week in a row, gets an amazing two-minute drive. You can't blame this on Kirk, Kirk haters. You can't do that. Jack, I know you were there. I was there. We were all down on Kirk, and he proved it wrong, proved us wrong again, and took him down the field to not just give him a 53-yard field goal like he did last week, but to give Greg Joseph a 37-yard field goal. Jack, there's a lot of people in the chat right now wondering, again, interactive conversation here, so if you have thoughts on this game, please throw them in the chat and partake with us. Wondering if the Vikings should have ran one more play maybe to get a little bit closer. Shouldn't have mattered, but do you think they should have?
I don't know. I go back and forth. I've seen kind of both sides of that story. I'm torn in the middle on that one because they still had enough time. They had that timeout. They could have tried to potentially punch it in the end zone, but I don't think Kirk Cousins, like you said, Kirk Cousins did exactly what he needed to do for the second week in a row after I know we were kind of bashing him last week, but he did what he needed to do, not only on that drive, but throughout this game. I know there were some dud drives. It was kind of hard to convert on third downs for this team, but there was that like 30-yard scramble he had, which is unheard of for Kirk Cousins. You don't see that. We've heard people calling for him to utilize that mobility. We saw that. He utilized that. And then on top of that, on that same drive, the pocket broke down and he scooted out to the left side of the pocket, which I was ripping him apart last week for not doing. And he found Justin Jefferson for a touchdown. I think another frustrating aspect for many Vikings fans on that final drive. And I'm not saying Justin Jefferson had a horrific game, but that was a tough catch to make on that last final drive. But last year, that was a ball that it seemed that Justin Jefferson caught 10 out of 10 times, and he didn't catch it that time. And it was just frustrating because if he catches that, then maybe they are trying to push it down the field a little bit more. Maybe they try to get it in the end zone, or maybe they just try and scoot up and give Greg Joseph an even shorter kick, even though that shouldn't have to happen.
Right. We've got a lot to talk about. We planned for this to be about 10 minutes, but given the story of this game, it might be a little bit longer today, but we'll get off and then throw everyone over to Minnesota Vikings fan line. If you want to take in that conversation, obviously you can listen on KFAN on iHeartRadio, or you can join the conversation with the hashtag KFAN Vikes, and they will read comments from social media this year as well. That's new. But Jack, you know, there were some good things that we saw from this game. Obviously, we went into this game, you were more optimistic than I was. Vegas seemingly had it close again. I thought this was going to be a blowout, especially after what we saw last week. Give me a couple things you liked from this game before we completely turn negative.
Yeah, there were a few things, and I think it starts with Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook was able to get going. I know there was a couple injury scares for him, and it doesn't look like it was too serious because he was back out there. But on the offensive side of the ball, I think you have to give all the props in the world to KJ Osborne. We talked about this last week. He had a solid game in Cincinnati after a 2020 season where he didn't record a catch, and he had that the first touchdown of the game today, and he had some big catches on that final drive to get the Vikings down there, obviously. Didn't turn out how you wanted to turn out, but KJ Osborne looked very good. It seems as if the Vikings have found their wide receiver three, and people are really starting to say they found their wide receiver three and possible wide receiver two whenever Adam Thielen is going to be done playing. Adam Thielen is another bright spot. I know you have made jokes about this. This has been posted all over KFAN.com about Adam Thielen getting up there in age and starting to slow down. He's not slowing down. He looks fantastic, and this I don't want to say three-headed monster yet because it's not quite there, but KJ Osborne is emerging into that role, and that's exciting to see because the Vikings haven't had that in the last several years. And then flipping over to the defensive side of the ball, there were some positives. I know, I mean, we were both kind of expecting this game to be somewhat of a shootout, whether the Vikings hung in there or not. We expected the Cardinals to put points up, and they did exactly that. Kyler Murray looked fantastic, but when the defense needed to step up, I know they had some missed tackles, there's some miscommunication, some blown coverages, but when the defense needed to step up, they did when it mattered the most. And there were some, Bashaud Breeland was probably one of the more negative things, but Danielle Hunter looked like his old self, recording three sacks. And I tweeted this out during the game. Whenever the Vikings get Anthony Barr back, watching those three linebackers, Nick Vigil has played extremely well for the first two games of the season. He had that pick six. And the last thing that I wanted to touch on the defensive side of the ball kind of goes back to Bashaud Breeland struggling. Cameron Dantzler came in after being a healthy scratch last week and made a couple big plays late in that game. I'm looking to see more of him moving forward, especially if Bashaud Breeland is going to continue to struggle.
All right, we'll have to monitor that. Obviously, Dalvin Cook got banged up a little bit. The Barr situation, Eric Kendricks looked great, right? We were worried about him not playing. He looked very negative when he was downgraded midweek with some sort of hamstring tweak or whatever it is, but he played. He played pretty well. You mentioned the Justin Jefferson catch. Another play that stood out to me, right? There's a lot of good that came from this game. The defense wasn't necessarily one of them. Danielle Hunter, let's leave that for him maybe there. Good to see him show up. Good to see him show up in a big way at big times. But there were moments where the defense lapsed, and there was a 4th-and-5 situation, another 4th-down scenario where the Minnesota Vikings looked like they had a decent play call. It was a pretty close to all-out blitz on Kyler Murray. He got rid of the ball right away, fade away off his back foot, threw it up in the air. Was it Christian Kirk who caught that one?
Yes.
Christian Kirk reeled that in, 37 yards. Mackenzie Alexander late getting there. 4th down seems to be a problem. I mean, that's an opportunity where, you know, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place with a mobile quarterback like Kyler Murray. He hadn't been killing you with his feet. I mean, he had done some things, right? He had 400 some yards or whatever. He played great as far as a quarterback, but he hadn't completely been just dominating you with your feet, but you played as if you were scared of that, right? And you're stuck between the 5 yards is a quarterback rush opportunity. You have to, if you go play prevent or like a more conservative style, you're worried about him just getting out of the pocket and running for 5 yards because it's not that much. But you bring the all-out blitz and he throws it up over top. Cliff Kingsbury had that right play called. You know, there are these moments every time, every week so far with this team where it seems like you got it figured out, you got it going, you got it in a good spot, and then you let a 4th down play, a big 4th down play. It was the tight end play last week where Burrow, the tight end, slipped off the backside. I don't know what the deal is with this team, but they're missing the mark when it comes to the biggest plays of the game. And obviously, they still should have won this game. But that one right there would have sealed and delivered it earlier on in the game and given them opportunity to milk this thing away.
Yeah, and there was another play. I know it wasn't a 4th down, but I believe it was the Cardinals were driving, and I think it was like 3rd and 16. And they converted on that. That is something the defense has to hold them to a field goal there. I can't remember. I think they punched it in for a touchdown after that. I'm kind of spacing out on that. But 3rd and 16, when they're down deep in your own territory, you have to come up with a stop there. And that's what Mike Zimmer's defense used to be so good at, those critical situations, exactly what you're talking about, the 4th downs, the 3rd downs. He was fantastic with his defense, and his defense – I saw some tweets comparing this defense to the 2020 defense, and I don't think that's fully fair, But there was a lot of high expectations for this defense going into the season, and I had a ton of those high expectations myself, and they haven't proven that to me yet. They haven't came up – like I said, they did come up in some big moments, but it was just like some weird – like Patrick Peterson, there was a blown coverage that got past him, and it was like, this cannot happen with a Mike Zimmer-led team. You have a defensive-minded head coach. Your defense has to be able to contain high-powered offenses. That is the way the NFL is going. And if Mike Zimmer wants to keep his job in Minnesota, he's going to have to figure out a way to stop these high-powered offenses.
You know, there were some other good things that we saw. I jotted a couple of them down. We didn't get the first penalty on this team until the third quarter. That was great. I mean, that compared to what we were having last week and the problems they had, they figured a lot of that out. The offensive line played pretty good, right? Chandler Jones was really not doing anything until maybe late in that third quarter. He got a sack, and he did have his presence felt a little bit more in the final quarter there. But they really protected Kirk and opened up running holes for Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook, like a different, completely different player this week against what we thought was going to be a much better defense.
Yes, and going back to the dealing with the defensive side of the ball and looking at Arizona's offense, a player that I don't think we brought him up a couple times. I know I talked about him a couple times last week, but Rondale Moore is emerging as a superstar in this league. I had a buddy text me and say he reminds him of a young Percy Harvin. That kid can play football, and he can play football extremely well. It was fun to watch. I know it sucks.
Especially when you leave him wide open.
Yes, that doesn't help. I know the Cardinals had a couple blown coverages as well. The K.J. Osborne touchdown at the beginning of the game, that was a complete blown coverage. But like you said, there were positives. I think you and I were both terrified for this offensive line going up against Chandler Jones. They held their own there, and the offense looked good. I know the first half, they looked fantastic. They kind of slowed down. But the offense did their job late in the fourth quarter, and it just comes back to that special teams. We're going to talk about that probably throughout the rest of the season. We're going to look back at this game. They're going to look back at the Cincinnati game because there's a very – I mean, the Vikings could easily be sitting at 2-0 right now, and now they're at 0-2. And, oh, by the way, I'm sure everyone on here has seen the statistics about that. It is not easy to turn your season around from starting 0-2, especially when your next two games are against the Seattle Seahawks and the Cleveland Browns.
Who, by the way, Seattle Seahawks are in overtime. I don't know if you've been paying attention to that, Tennessee Titans have come back 3 touchdowns on the day from Derrick Henry, all in the second half, I think. He really turned it on. So who knows how they're going to be coming into Minnesota next week. But, Jack, before we get to the closing question, which is almost certainly going to be, are the Vikings going to start 0-4? I want to talk about Nick Vigil. Nick Vigil continues to ball out as a fill-in player for Anthony Barr. He's wearing the green dot, which means he's getting the calls from the sidelines. You see him going like this and hearing the play call come into his helmet. He's leading the team out there. He's showing up in big situations. He had the pick six today, and then he fell asleep on the next play that he was out there. But Nick Vigil filling in admirably, all you can ask for a guy who's filling in for maybe one of the cornerstones of this defense, Anthony Barr.
Yes, and like I said, when Anthony Barr comes back, whenever that may be, I'm excited. I said that already, but I'm excited to see those three linebackers play together because now what the Vikings have is something that I don't think they've had. I know people have wanted Eric Wilson to stay in Minnesota. I was completely fine with letting him go. Anthony Barr is still going to be that guy. He's the captain of this football team, I believe, and he's going to retain that play calling duty. But what the Vikings have is if they're in a base set now, they can let Anthony Barr be more of a run focused or pass rushing focus because Nick Vigil and Eric Kendricks are both better in pass protection. Or not pass protection, that's the wrong word. But in passing downs, they're better in coverage than what Anthony Barr was. I was at the Rams game. This was 2-3 years ago in L.A. But I remember I was just scratching my head because Anthony Barr is trying to run stride for stride with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. And that just, it puts a player in a weird spot that's not where his like strong suit is. I think Nick Vigil and Eric Kendricks can both play that role a lot better. And I think that could even boost Anthony Barr's play to another level because he can focus more potentially on getting after the quarterback and being a huge run stuffer, which I know he's very good at in the run support.
Let's run through some stats real quick here. Dalvin Cook, 22 runs for 131 yards. We'll be monitoring his injury situation. He got banged up early on the game and then later in the game as well. It looked like an ankle injury late in the game. Kirk Cousins, 22 for 32, 244 yards, those 3 touchdowns, a 122.4 passer rating. Kyler Murray, 29 for 36, 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also ran in for 1. Justin Jefferson, 65 yards receiving. He was targeted 10 times. I think we're seeing that shift again, going from Adam Thielen, Kirk's best friend in the passing game, to Justin Jefferson being a little bit more of a focal point. I'd love to see him reel a couple of those in. A couple of those were on him or were catchable balls. I don't know if they're his fault per se, but they're catchable. He had a touchdown. Thielen had a touchdown. KJ Osborne had a touchdown. Jack, you talked about him earlier. We'll talk a lot about this throughout the week, where this team is going. But Jack, it is still a difficult schedule. And they do come home next week against the Seattle Seahawks, who are presently still tied in overtime, 8 minutes left, and they now have the ball. Tennessee has punted. We get them next week, and then we get Cleveland the week after that. Cleveland beat Houston 31-21. Two tough games against two teams and the styles of teams that give this team fits. But we thought that Arizona was going to give this team fits. If you had to answer right now, Jack, do they win next week or do they lose next week against the Seattle Seahawks at home?
Coming off a loss like this, it's hard to be optimistic. But that's, like I said, I've been in Minnesota for 26 years of my life, and I have to become optimistic if I want any chance at wanting to watch football anymore. So I think the Vikings have a chance at winning against Seattle. I think US Bank Stadium is going to be rocking. I would probably argue, not argue, that's probably the wrong word, but I would imagine that this is going to be one of the louder atmospheres US Bank Stadium has seen over the years. Obviously, it's not going to get to the Minneapolis Miracle level, but I think the fans are going to be rocking, and the Vikings always seem to find a way to play Seattle close in Seattle, and this time it comes back home in Minnesota. Like I said, I think the fans are going to be ecstatic. It's going to be rocking in there, and right now, I think the Vikings have a chance at winning that game.
All right. Well, you're going to give them a chance. I think they're going to lose it, but we'll see. It's still a lot of week left in here. Jack, this is the opportunity, your first initial reaction, to get anything off your chest that you had going real quick. I'm going to go real quick. You think of something that you might have. I'm so bored with the play calling on this team. They did it again. Aqib Talib was on. I didn't care for the TV broadcast whatsoever. It wasn't very good. But Aqib Talib was talking as soon as they got that turnover. Was it the turnover? I'm trying to remember. Turnover on downs. Whatever it was, they got the ball back in Arizona territory, and they're saying this is where you take a shot, this is where you go for it, and they hand the ball off to Dalvin Cook right up the middle. There were two opportunities with 4th and 1 where they could have gone for it. The charts told them to go for it, given the situation, the game situation, the time in the game, the score, whatever it is. I'm so bored with the play calling. I want all of these play callers that are here to either get going or get out of here and get somebody who has some cojones to come in and do something fun. It sucks when you watch the team like Arizona and how fun and high-flying they are, and you see the direct comparison. It's really not a great opportunity for me to have these opinions right now. But we've all been saying this forever. Get going. Take some shots. Take some chances. Look what you're doing when you're just doing conservative offense. You have the pieces to do that. All you got to do is sprinkle in a little surprise now and catch a team by surprise. Jack, anything you want to close out with?
Yeah, I thought the play calling was actually pretty good early on. But then once it got like to the third quarter, it's like, what is happening right now? And like, I agree with what you're saying. They're not taking shots when they should be taking shots. They're not willing to go for it. And like, maybe that can flip a game around. I know it can flip it around in a negative way if you don't get that. But there was a point in the football game where Dalvin Cook was running for like 7 yards per carry. And the weirdest thing, I'm going to kind of bounce this off of what you were just saying. We have seen Kirk Cousins dial apart defenses off of play action over the last 3 years. That is where he is at his best. And Dalvin Cook, like I just said, at a point in this game was running for like 7+ yards per carry.
Right.
The run game was very well established, and there was no play action. It blew my mind, because that would have been a perfect chance where Aqib Talib said that, where take your shot now. This is where you take your shot. Do a play action and let Kirk roll out and sling it down the field at least one time. I don't remember. I could be wrong on this, but I don't remember seeing an actual play action rollout play where Kirk Cousins got outside the pocket, had some time to kind of survey the field and just launch one downfield. I don't think that happened. And when you establish the run as well as they did in this one, it just doesn't make sense to not utilize one of the strong suits of Kirk Cousins' game.
Yeah, I'm going to look close in the camera here. Get my microphone. I got the little man. Little man's over here. Show me a toy. I'm going to get close on this one. Kirk Cousins did not lose this game. Kirk Cousins kept the team in this game. Kirk Cousins helped this team fight for the game. This is coming from somebody who is not a Kirk Cousins lover. I don't think he's the future, but he didn't lose this game, so you can't blame it on him. Now, if you want to talk about the coaching staff and the decisions that they made, that's another story that we will take a couple days, Jack, and we'll be back on Tuesday once we let our thoughts simmer a little bit and get their blood pressures down a little bit. This guy, look at this, getting overtaken by the little man right here, wants to be a part of the star of the show. I'm going to go change his diaper because it stinks. He has a stinky diaper. So we're going to take off. We will see you Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for the State of Purple review conversation. Again, we'll take some time to think about this and come back to talk after we've heard from the coach, the player, and we will join you on Tuesday and then Thursday to preview the Seattle Seahawks game. For Jack Day, I am AJ Mansoor. This is the State of Purple Podcast.
Fire! 10 seconds to go. We need a Minneapolis miracle. Fire! Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Off by Diggs.